You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me always is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guests will be talking about how you can tap into creative financing to purchase multi-million dollar real estate starting from absolutely nothing.
That's right, Charles. And he'll also talk about how being around the right people in his investing path and how it has helped him and how it can help you as well. And also why he is expanding into mobile homes. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Everyone, it's Charles Rose Jr. with Breakthrough Investor, where we help you break through limitations as an investor to get you to that next level. And with me always is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. He's a real estate investor, sharp guy, and just awesome. William, brother, how fantastic are you doing today?
I am doing awesome, Charles. Super excited to be here and happy to be inside, man. I've already been out and shoveled my entire driveway with a couple inches of snow this morning and super excited to be warm and get on this interview and talk to our guest because we've talked to him a couple times before, but this dude is awesome. What he's doing in real estate is just absolutely wild.
Man, you're totally right, man. And I got to shovel some snow as well too. I got guests coming over for my daughter's birthday party. But yeah, this guy is awesome. I got to personally meet him through another network that we were both in, the deal room. And man, when I met this guy, like, I remember before I even met him, like, everybody was like, you got to meet Phil. I was like, oh man, I was like, I got to meet this guy. And man, he's just being an awesome guy. Like, he is just what I love about him, William. Like, you know, we can talk about, you know, how he started with nothing, how he invests in apartment complexes and all that he does. But this guy has a genuine heart. And he has a heart to help people. And that's the kind of people I always told myself, that's the kind of people I want to be around. And that's the kind of person I want to become.
Absolutely. And
so to have him share his wisdom and knowledge, I think this is a really awesome, amazing benefit for our audience. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I totally agree. He's just, I follow him on Facebook, and I was telling him before we really got started that this guy is so active on Facebook, and he's not only about doing the real estate, but he's about the relationships with people and helping people grow and giving them opportunities that somebody else helped him attain as well. And he's just helping them understand the numbers, how to run a deal, how to look at a property. And that kind of stuff changes your lives when you really jump in. And he's just, it's awesome to follow him on Facebook. I don't want to like spoil his name too soon. I'll let Charles do the intro as he usually does. But yeah, this dude is awesome. And you guys should definitely follow him.
100%. And man, William, so the last time we did an interview with him was right around a year ago, maybe a year and 1 month. I know he had like he went from nothing to like owning like over 8 million in real estate. Now we're coming back, and I know that number has expanded exponentially because not only is he investing in apartment complex and single family deals, but also mobile home parks. And really, I mean, he looks at any type of real estate investment where it makes sense. So, but let's just bring him to the show, the master of creative financing and everything real estate, Phil Brooks. What's up, brother?
Hey, fellas, man, when I say, man, I'm honored to be here with you guys, man. Y'all just so great. The way y'all interview, the way y'all introduce people and interact with each other, y'all just awesome, man. I really appreciate that.
We appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. And man, so I know, you know, this is your second time on, but some people are listening to this episode for the first time. And some people are, you know, listening to our podcast for the first time as well. So would you be so kind to share again your amazing story of how your investment journey in real estate all started?
Yes. Man, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure because to me, I'm supposed to be here, right, Charles? I'm supposed to be somewhere working a long hour, got to get a pension or 401k and retiring somewhere off that, right? So it's an honor to share with others that's interested in real estate and stuff of that nature. So I started off and how I started off in real estate was I was working a 12-hour shift, right? Me working that 12-hour shift, I knew it wasn't something. I had a brand new baby. I used to get off work from working overnights and get her, and that was a whole nother job in itself, right? So I used to say, man, I need to figure something out. I need to figure something out. I was already, my dad used to be in construction and stuff in that nature. So I always had like real estate in my mind. So one day, you know, I was already in a single family game before I got into the multifamily. I met a mentor and he asked me, because my goal was to buy one house a year for 10 years and retire off them 10 houses because of the rental income. And my mentor said, why buy one house a year when you'll buy an apartment building that got 10 apartments in it and you accomplish your goal in 1 year that you set out to do in 10? It blew my mind. And I started just looking for different groups, different opportunities to join the multifamily space. And I ended up joining this one group called the Deal Room on Accident. But I joined it, but I wasn't too serious at first. I was just looking, just strolling, just trying to see what people do because I knew nothing about the multifamily space. So I got into an accident, car accident, and it changed my whole trajectory. I'm talking about total. I'm supposed to be here today. And I got out of that car without a scratch or ache, like total, car total. Like, that's when I knew. I've been asking God, man, show me a way. I need to do something different. And then that happened without an ache. And I was able to go full, I won't say able to, I just went full time real estate. I just started diving into learning what a deal was, how to find one, because I knew I didn't have the capital to put into one, right? So I did that. I used the Michael Jordan method. He wasn't, because a lot of people used to come to me like, man, I can't find a deal. I can't find a deal. I can't find a deal. And I used the Michael Jordan method. Like, if I could get as many deals sent to me, even if they're not penciling out, right? If I could get as many deals sent to me at a time, I know one of them, at least one, going to pencil out.
Yeah.
So I went through the numbers game, and that's how I was able to. Every deal I looked at, I submit the offer, even if it's overpriced. Because you just never know.
Phil, and just to interject a little bit, man, I remember you have even like a special way that you put in offers. That's not like how everybody else do it. You know, me knowing your story a little bit, can you share more about how you put in those offers? Because our listeners are, you know, I'm sure they're going to want to hear that.
Yeah. So so for the multifamily, you deal with a lot of brokers. There's a lot of brokers that's involved, right? And to be able to get off market deals from them, things of that nature, you almost got to go through an interview and prove that you're a human, right? you almost got to like almost give away your bank accounts, your family bank accounts and everything to be even considered as a buyer. So what I do, instead of going through the first calling them initially and trying to prove who I am, right? I go on LoopNet Craigslist. If it's a deal in that area that I know it's more likely not a deal, if it's on LoopNet or Craigslist, because the broker probably put it there because he didn't sell it off market to buyers like myself, right? So what they do is, what I do is I go on LoopNet Craigslist, I get all the information, I fill out whatever they need for me to get the financials to be able to underwrite that deal. Once I underwrite it, I submit an LOI. So even though they might have wanted $5 million for it, and I only could pay $3 million, I submit my LOI for $3
million. Your letter of intent.
Letter of intent. Mm-hmm. And a letter of intent is just pointing out how much I could pay for it, how I could buy it, how long it's going to take, things in that nature, right? So I send an LOI, then I call them and I go, hey, William, I just sent you an LOI for the property you had on LoopNet at 123 Main Street in Charlotte, North Carolina. I know y'all wanted $5 million for it, but after fully underwriting and diving deeper into the numbers, we only could pay $3 million. If that's something that may work, I would love to move forward and we can get it on a PSA. If not, please send me anything off market in that area. We're looking to buy ASAP. And what that do, far as with the mindset and everything is, they ain't need to see if I was going to waste their time and not submit an offer because I already did, right? Mm-hmm. They already got an offer on their plate that they could take to their seller and say, hey, we got another offer. That's what they be looking for. Another thing is, yeah, I might get a couple questions like, how you going to pay for it or what you going through or blah, blah, blah. They might ask for a proof of funds. And I always tell them, hey, I could get you a proof of funds from my lender if you sign an LOI or a PSA, but they won't go through all that trouble without at least a signed LOI or a PSA. And they know most lenders. They know most lenders don't want to go through that process because it's full. Mm-hmm. When you're getting lending from a commercial property, it's a different process than getting lending for a house.
That's right. Right.
Because they go by the money is generating. So they need to look at the guarantors. They need to look at the financials and things of that nature. So I always let them know, hey, I could get you a pre-approval, but I need to sign up a PSA before I can do that.
So jumping into the proof of funds part, how are you funding these deals primarily? Because you're talking about, like, if we look at this from you're just starting out of real estate or you've been doing it a couple of years, it's quite a jump to go from like $150,000, $200,000 single family home to a $6 million apartment complex. Mm-hmm. It's the number that blows people's minds. So how are you doing that?
Network with people who sign on loans. So not only that, I built relationships. Not only was I finding deals, I got around people and showed people what I was doing. Hey, I'm going to find this real estate deal. I might not be able to sign on a loan. If I find one, would you be willing to partner with me on the loan? And me always learning, always giving people, just it seemed like God attract people that can help me as well, right? That can help other people as well. So I constantly networked and let people know what I was doing. Hey, I can't sign on $1 million loan. I'm jobless right now. I quit my job, but I could give you as much sweat equity. You're going to get 120%. I'm going to make sure it's a deal. I'm going to do everything I need to do to make sure it's a deal so you won't lose money. And then after we close, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure we execute our business plan. Now, everything don't always go according to plan, but if I'm giving up 120 to do whatever I can, what much can people really ask for? Right.
Absolutely. I mean, that's everybody listening. Just catch the fact that he's talking about the way that he raises capital is by networking and communicating and just being completely honest and open about what the deal is, who he is as an individual. That's a phenomenal way to go about this. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that is, like, literally, especially. And I think add to what William's saying. You know, he mentioned he started with anything. He was jobless. How many people, William, you know, don't get started because they don't have any money?
Oh, man. So many.
But people even who have a job are afraid to get started, too. They think they don't have enough money, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The things that really hold people back is just there's so many different things, not even money. But money is probably the biggest one, money and knowledge. So Phil's over here networking like absolutely crazy. And you just, I'm sure Phil's kind of like me, where you meet people and you're just genuinely curious about people and want to help and share what you're doing. And people want to jump on board when they see you're so passionate about what you're doing. And Phil's got that all over.
100%. And Phil, I think this is, you know, so this whole podcast is really helping people break through limiting beliefs, mindsets, those type of things. And how did you break through that mindset? Okay, I don't have a job. I don't have any money. How did you break that mindset of even believe that you can do it? And even, you know, being bold enough to ask other people to walk with you on that journey, right? Because honestly, like, I won't even say, you know, necessary to help. Like it's, they're not just lending you money or doing this for you. They have an opportunity, an incredible opportunity to invest with you. Right. So it's not that they're just, it's not a benefit for just you. It's an amazing benefit for them. So how did you get to that place where you were able to say, okay, you know, I don't have any job, I don't have any money, I can do this? What was that process like?
It's when I got around other people who was actually doing it. Right. Man, you'd be surprised how many people think, oh, their parents must have had money. That's why they're able to buy this. Oh, they got a good job and they made a lot of money. That's how they're able to do this. But no, they was individuals just like me who really, a good friend of mine, he was a school teacher, right? I was making $70,000 a year as a supervisor of the warehouse, right? He was a school teacher. He probably made around the same amount as me, right? If not less, but he owned over $200 million in real estate by himself. So it was like the change in the belief. You'd be surprised how many people don't want to do the work but have the money. Right. You'd be surprised on how many people got the credit and they built that up and build up their portfolio to be able to just sign on loans. Right. You'd be surprised how many people is willing to do that. And I didn't know that. I just thought, man, you needed to have that yourself. You needed to have all the money yourself. No, you could have a different type of value that you bring. Like, time is more valuable than money. Right. I'm putting in the time, the effort to even make sure they ain't have to go do nothing. Just you know, hey, I would love that type of return with you. And I would love to put that in your deal because I've seen you did your research. I see you very knowledgeable. You took it serious to even before you even approached me, you can answer all the questions I need answered. It ain't that I could, because at the when I first started off, no, I can't answer, but I can answer the majority that most wanted to know. How much money you need, when I'm gonna get my money back, not my return. People think, oh, I show them the returns and they gonna be super excited. No, you need to have a plan on returning their capital. That's the most important part. People of work hard to make their money.
Right, return of investment.
Yes, people work hard to make their money. Definitely people who work in a job, they feel like they're giving up a piece of their life when they hand over that money because they gave up their time to make it.
That's a good point. I'd never actually thought about that. That's a great way. They're more concerned about getting, if they give you 20 grand, 25 grand, whatever it is, they're more concerned about getting that money back than they are actually getting the interest back. That's pretty fascinating. I'd never actually thought about that.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. That reminds me of, you know, there's return on investment, return of investment, right? And Phil is totally right. They want the return of investment. They want their money back. And then, you know, the return on investment is even better when you can give them, you know, way more, right, Phil?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The interest and the return is just extra. That's a bonus. So before I pitch a deal, I like to hammer it on what the business plan is, what we're going to do. You know, when they're going to get, this is how you're going to get your money. This is the plan. This is how long we think it's going to take. And this is when we should return your capital. And they usually like, all right, 2 years. Oh, okay. 3 years, 5 years. At least they have an idea of, all right, I know the time frame. Now let's get into the returns. All right. So things of that nature. So I always like to have a good business plan. What you plan on doing? Because I go in with the same business plan, regardless, even if I'm buying in a different type of way. Even if I'm buying in creative or traditional, however, I like to go in and be able on multifamily bigger deals to return capital to our partners on a refinance within 2 to 3 years. And then after that, we just hold it with affinity return. They get to keep the same equity once I return it. Mm-hmm. And now they get the cash flow on that deal with no money in it. So it's affinity returns, right?
Love it.
And by returning their money on a refi is tax-free. Anything we get extra is tax-free because it's a refi, right? Now they get some extra money on it on top of that. And then we can hold it. We don't even got to sell it now. We can hold it, keep the cash flow going, and just buy another one.
That's amazing. If I could back up a little bit, can you explain? I explained this to a couple of people recently and it absolutely blew their mind. But can you explain why the money you get back on a cash out refinance is tax free?
Because
that one blows people's mind.
Because it's tax free because it's interest. You getting a loan. It's profit for you because you know you're gonna sell it for more later on, but it's not really profit because it's a loan.
It's a loan.
And interest on it.
Yeah, it's not taxable income.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Phil, I'm going to be a little bit selfish here. I want to hear how and why you got into mobile home parks, because I have a small one and it's been a phenomenal journey. I made plenty of mistakes along the way on a really small one. And I know that this is an arena that you're in and you're actively pursuing pretty hard, it sounds like. So I'm just super curious how and why mobile home parks.
To be honest with you. Because where we at today, even in the market with inflation, mobile home parks, people think of mobile home parks and they think of trailer trash or 8 Mile or something, you know, in Detroit or something, right? But that's not the case. That's not the case. And you can make these homes look these parks look very, very nice and luxury. Not only that, it's affordable still. Because just for example, when I moved to Dallas, I mean, I'm just throwing out, when I was looking for a place to stay, first house that I found that was even decent was $2,500 a month in rent. That's just me, right? That's $2,500. And I don't live in like a big luxury or it's just $2,500. So I'm just thinking in my mind, the affordability, this same apartment back home in Buffalo, I probably would have paid $100. I mean, $1,000, right? But so the affordability, the depreciation as the investor, right? The write-offs you get, the low taxes you get, for having affordability and stuff and things of that nature. And to be able to sell someone a home affordable, because we don't like to keep them as park owned. We like to sell them and it'd be tenant owned park. Our parks is tenant owned, right? Yeah. And we just rent out the land, upkeep the land and things of that nature. But the benefit from the owner is I have no home maintenance. I just need to maintain, you know, the outside. And I don't even need to maintain the outside of their property. I'm talking about, you know, the roads, anything, common areas and things of that nature, because they got to upkeep their own land, right? Their own yard. So I would say to me, and another thing, me, William, I got two awesome operators.
That's like, so important.
So being that I got two awesome operators that I can trust that on their portfolio alone, I think they own like 14 parks, right? So
they know, they got the ins and the outs, and they know how unique some of that stuff can be and how creative you have to be on how to solve things. Like, that's one of the biggest things, is every park is so incredibly different. And the zoning or the town or the county, whatever it is, town water, town sewer, or septics and wells, they're all so unique. Like, being able to figure that stuff out is really intimidating for a lot of people. But if you can, it can be a really awesome opportunity.
Yes, yes. And then they got that stuff. Look, well, you got a lagoon, or you got to have a lagoon, or you don't have to have a lagoon. And it's just different stuff when you got to know about the mobile home park. But I've just been blessed to be able to have two great operators who that's all they focus on, the straight mobile home park. Mm-hmm. And it's to the point where this year we are launching a fund for just buying up mobile home parks. Like, that's all we're doing. We're going to be partnering with them. They're going to run the operations. We're going to bring in the capital and things of that nature to help other people actually invest in these mobile home parks as well and reap the benefits.
So where do you see the mobile home parks going as far as like staying or going or changing?
I'm going to say it's going to be one of the go-to things to have, right? And I think it's to stay. Because like before, people used to think, oh, mobile home park, don't want to live in there, it's trailer. Now they realizing that it's not like the old Sigma that people have in their mind. It's more affordable. It does look nice. And I feel like they more and more now, you got certain cities that don't like them, right? Because they cut into what they're doing. But a lot of people from now, what I'm saying from the South, they like that secluded country living, but can go to the city anyways, right? So just learning the niche of it, learning the area of it. Like, I'm still learning. These guys are way
always learning, man.
Yeah, I'm still learning, but it's an awesome journey to learn. I think they're here to stay. I think they're going to be here to stay for a while. And I'm actually, to be honest with you, my latest deal I just closed was a 50 mobile home park development deal in Temple, Texas, that I was working on for almost over a year to get it funded, approved. And now we just closed it in December. Everything approved. All the money to build up these mobile homes.
That's exciting. That's borderline development at that point. That's awesome.
This is awesome. And I think I definitely agree with you with the mobile home parks. I've been seeing it for a while, whereas there's a huge affordability problem. And I know politicians aren't, you know, a lot of times they don't want to address it. I don't want to get too political on why, you know, in the elections and everything. But I can tell you for sure, and we all know there's an affordability problem. And so even if the truth is, like, property prices are going up like crazy with traditional properties, and income is not going up the same way. It's going up, but not high enough. And there are so many people, especially the younger generation, who can't even afford a home right now, right? And so the mobile home parks not only do it add that advantage to people who want to live in the country, but there's an advantage for people who just can't afford a traditional home, right?
I'm 100% with you with that, Charles. That was a great explanation as well. Touched on that, because, man, you walk into a store, you barely can buy a pack of eggs now. Imagine a home, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm 100% with you. That's why we got to continue to find a way to create wealth, not just for ourselves, but for our inheritance, because they come in, they're getting born into a really bad, you know, space. But the way they also in a good space when it comes to running a business, starting a business, being able to grow a business because of all these new technologies, AI and things of that nature as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as far as working, if far as working and making a living and stuff like that, it's gonna be tough.
Man, I agree. Man, I'm gonna feel extra too. It's been on my heart too for a while to do something like, you know, some sort of win-win, like, you know, to help with affordability, whether it's mobile homes or tiny houses or, you know, something like that. So I'm like super excited, like literally. And I'm excited about that fund too. Even if, you know, I can't do active things, you know, it seems like the fund could be a more passive way. So, man, I love that, man. Please keep me up to date with all that y'all are doing.
Oh, you know, I definitely will. Definitely.
And all we got to do is go to Facebook. We're going to find out about it.
Yes, I know, sir. But I want the behind the scenes.
That's true, too. I love that as well.
Although they do share a lot of behind the scene moments, which is great. I love how transparent they are. Like, I know most of, you know, his team. And I know you're starting a group, right? Would you like to share more about that as well?
Yeah. So I get a lot of people who reach out that they trying to get into this multifamily thing, real estate, and they don't know where to start. And I always tell them, man, if you don't got the capital to put into someone deal, to learn hands-on, you need to start off by learning what a deal is. And they be like, all right, how about I do that? Where I go? I got to trust these groups, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, know what? Someone taught me how to underwrite. Somebody took their time out, taught me what a deal was and how to figure out what type of returns your investors is getting. Because if you don't got the capital, you need to bring in partners, right? So I'm starting to, so I've been doing a lot of one-on-one underwriting. You know, it takes up a lot of my time, you know, it books a lot of calls on my calendar. So that takes away from a lot of other things, you know, things that move the needle. That, to me, that moves the inside needle, right? For me, my personal needle, it moves it, you know, it do something for me, but it doesn't do anything for the business. It actually takes away from the business. So now what I'm doing is I'm setting up this free group. It's going to be free and we're going to run underwriting. You're going to be able to ask questions and things of that nature. And don't get me wrong, we're going to have different tiers that it may be a paid group because the time is valuable. I just told you how important the time is compared to, you know, money. And the reason why I say I would do it all day, every day, but I get a lot of people who do it. I won't be able to help as many people as I can if I do it one-on-one the way I've been doing it. So I'm running, you know, the big group. If you need more of a hands-on one-on-one, it probably could be something, a higher tier that we could discuss that. I haven't put nothing in writing or on paper yet, far as the other tier. Right now, I want to focus on being able to add the value to the group of people that have reached out to me. So I'm just going to, right now, we're starting with the free group and we're going to probably do some underwriting twice a week in that call in there. And we also don't just want to do underwriting because it takes more than just underwriting. It takes mindset. My first four deals filled through, you know, and I have no money coming in and I had to still believe that it could still happen and I was still going to make it happen, right? So probably want to run some mindset calls on that in that group as well. You know, that's just checking in, how everybody doing, how they feeling. Yeah, like I know it's tough. It's gonna be tough, y'all. Just make sure you're going in there like it's gonna be tough, but you tougher, right? Things of that nature. Just trying to help people push through because it's gonna take a lot of phone calls. It's gonna take a lot of underwriting the deals before you can get that one. But long as you know you want it, long as you know that's the effort you're gonna have to go through to get it, you're more likely gonna push through to get it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, please keep me and William updated. Yeah. Like literally, like I think I could read William's mind with that smile. William was like, count me in.
Right? Yeah, I'll be there.
Yes. Yeah, this is awesome, man. This has been incredible, man. And dude, every time we talk to you, man, it's like I don't want to stop, man. But for this episode, you know, we'll have to just bring you back to share more and more. But is there anything else you want to share in this episode? Anything we missed to help our audience become a breakthrough investor just like you?
Yeah, just know that when any storm is always a harvest, right? It's always going to be some sunshine. It's always got to have its opposite. It's the law of the universe. Everything got its own opposite. So I know I just touched basis on this before, but I can't stress this enough. Go in there knowing it's going to be a struggle. Go in there knowing you're going to fight. Get into the tug of war. It's a chance I can lose money. It's a chance I could lose somebody else's money. Yeah, that's just, but it's a better chance that I could change my life. I could change my family life. They could look at me and be an inspiration, right? I get family members, and now I go to dinner, and they're like, man, like, let's talk about it. Let's see how we can help you get there, too. Because at the end of the day, somebody got to be that hero in their family. And if this idea came to your mind, if God put this vision in your head, it's for you. You just got to act on it and just go through the storms, whatever it takes to get it. And like I said, I started multifamily 2 years ago. 2022, I started multifamily. I'm over 200 units. I also do flips. We're doing 20 flips a quarter, right? Because people, I like to tell people, it ain't just multifamily is more long term. You're going to build wealth and stuff over time. But you still need that short-term money as well. Me being that I quit my job and everything, I was fortunate enough that I was able to close a few deals, get a couple of dollars in, and push things through. But I always like to say, hey, have an investment plan if you come into real estate. All right, you don't have the capital right now, but you could find a deal. Cool, do that. You might need some right now money to help push marketing and keep pushing you through. Because if you can make enough to keep pushing through, eventually you're gonna make enough to decline, right? But you got to be able to work your way to that push through moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Man. So I just want to end it on this last thing though, Charles. I was listening to the Ed Milet show. And this is one of my favorite things because it really helped me when my first four deals fell through. And when I told you that first one I closed, I raised $950,000 and I did it in 2 weeks. And I had to talk to 76 people to even accomplish that. How I know that number? I counted. I kept track. How many said yes? How many said no? Six said yes, 70, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, if I didn't probably hear that episode or constantly built on developing myself, right? He said, if you never knew how to build a brick wall, right? If you never knew how to build a brick wall, but you lay that brick precisely where it go, and then you lay that next brick the next day, whatever, the next brick precisely where it go, it may take a little bit longer because you were really don't, you just doing what you need to do, you laying that brick, and you might not see the wall right away. But eventually, if you keep laying that brick where it needs to go daily, or you're going to have that brick wall, right? You'll eventually have that brick wall you were trying to build. So I just want to leave it on. Continue to lay that brick. Stay consistent. Don't give up. Eventually, you're going to have your breakthrough.
Love it. Oh, my goodness. This is so good. So, Phil, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm sure our guests love this. And we're just looking forward to seeing you more and spending more time with you, man. And wishing you many blessings with your business, brother.
Man, likewise. And like I said, I've been interviewed on quite a few podcasts. I love, jumping on with you guys. Y'all ask the right questions. Y'all got the great energy. And y'all just awesome, man. And y'all also in the business. Y'all in real estate investors. So it's just love kicking around ideas and learning from y'all as well. So it was a pleasure.
All right. Awesome. We'll see you on the next one.
See y'all soon, brothers.